Have your Bibles, turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. And we're going to begin our study this morning by reading a verse from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. And when you have it, just let me know by saying amen. God, amen. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. You know, I repeat it about four or five times because often I hear people saying, what did he say? Where do I turn? You know, so it's just good for me to repeat it and just to make sure everybody's on the same page. You know, I often tell people, you know, anytime you share a study or you preach or teach, always repeat the scripture reference 3 to 4 times, because there's a good chance that people are going to miss it on the first time because nobody really pays attention. They just kind of grab their Bibles and then they're like, oh, where did he say? And you're asking around. So I just thought I'd throw that in. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. This is what it says. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Let's read that again. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. This morning, I have titled our study, Giving Thanks. Giving Thanks. I want to share with you a brief story that I heard. Famed English author Charles Dickens, if you've never heard of Charles Dickens, he's a very, very famous writer. He was responsible of writing many literature classics, like Oliver Twist. I don't know if you've ever read that when you were in high school, but it's a recommended reading. He wrote A Christmas Carol, one of my favorite movies and books. He wrote A Tale of Two Cities, a very famous English author. This is what he said. He said that we are somewhat mixed up here in America. He told an audience that instead of having one Thanksgiving Day each year, we should have 364 Thanksgiving days each year. This is what Dickens said. He says, use that one day for murmuring and complaining, and use the other 364 days to thank God each day for the many blessings he has showered upon you. So you use the one day to murmur and to complain, because everybody needs that one day, even me. But the rest of the days, the 364 days, Dickens says that we should use them to thank God for all his blessings that he has showered upon us. We have so much to be thankful for. Amen. And we should always take the time to give thanks to God. 365 days of the year, we need to learn, we need to take advantage of that time to give thanks to God for who he is and for what he has done in our lives. We have so much, so much to be thankful for. In Psalms 107, and I just want to read it. You don't have to turn there. But in Psalms 107, verses 8, verses 15, and verses 21, this is what the psalmist says. And I just love this verse. And if you could just hear it out and just meditate upon it as I read it, it's going to bless you. The psalmist says, oh, that man would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of man. Then he continues in verse 15 and says, oh, that man would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of man. And then he continues in verse 21, and the psalmist once again says, oh, that man would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of man. On three occasions, the psalmist says, oh, that man would give thanks to the Lord. Man, we have so much to be thankful to the Lord. And I think that's one of the reasons why Thanksgiving is such a special holiday. Because this is what Thanksgiving does. It reminds us to take the time to thank the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works. That's really the purpose of Thanksgiving. And we just finished celebrating it. And it's just such a special day because it's really a day that we're reminded kind of to take a break, kind of to take a time out of our busy schedules and just give thanks to the Lord and just reflect on his goodness and his wonderful works. We have so much to be thankful for, and it's important to give thanks. How many of you know that? That it's important to give thanks. The Bible, it speaks extensively on the importance of giving thanks. The word thanks, the word thanksgiving or thankfulness, it's actually found in the Bible more than 150 times. That whole idea of giving thanks or being thankful or giving thanksgiving unto the Lord, it's used in one way or another more than 150 times. So we can see, man, it's important. The Lord wanted us to understand the importance of giving thanks. In Ephesians 5:20, Paul says, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 17, Paul says, and whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So verse after verse, the Bible, it talks about the importance of giving thanks. And yet it seems as the years go on, now more than ever, fewer people are giving thanks. The Bible talks so much about giving thanks, and yet as you look around, it seems that the prevailing attitude of our culture is not one of thanksgiving, but it's one of complaining. Doesn't it seem to you, and you see it, that now more than ever, people are unthankful? That people are unthankful. Man, I read an article that just really startled me. And the article was about how because so many people have lost their job during this time of recession in our economy, that workers were forced to work more hours because the labor force was lacking. And so those who had jobs are forced to work a little bit of overtime. They're forced to work a little harder. And the article began to share how because of that, more workers were complaining, were murmuring, were whining, were really driving their bosses crazy because they had to work more hours because the labor force is so few right now. And as I began to think about it, I said, wait a minute. Instead of being thankful that they have a job, instead of being thankful that they have these extra hours, They're complaining. They're murmuring. They're whining. And I was thinking to myself, that is really a good summary of our culture today. That's where the culture is going. More people spend time and energy complaining about what they don't have instead of appreciating what they do have. That's what's going on. You see it in the children. You see it in the young people. I work with young people, and I've even worked with children. And it just seems like the attitude is not like how it used to be in America. The attitude is now one of unthankfulness instead of an attitude of thanksgiving. You give someone a free meal. You have a event here at church. You work really hard to prepare. They make the food. And you give it for free to bless. And right away people complain. I don't like this type of food. I don't like hot dogs. Why can't you spend a little more money and buy hamburgers? Like, wait a minute. Would you like nothing better? I don't say that. But you want to, because the attitude now is complaining, murmuring, not appreciating. And yet, in the midst of this revolution going on in our culture, the Bible instructs us as believers, give thanks in everything. That's the will of God, that we would be men and women who know what it means to be thankful. Oh, this morning, I'm so thankful to the Lord. I'm so appreciative of what the Lord has done for me and what the Lord has done for you. In everything, give thanks. In good times, when the finances is there. In bad times, when the finances are not there. In times of abundance, in times of scarcity, we are called to give thanks. We are called, we are expected by our King, by our Master, the Lord Jesus Christ, to have a heart of thanksgiving. And I really been thinking about that all week, you know, and I think it's because we're in the Thanksgiving season and we're about to enter the Christmas season. Just the importance of giving thanks. And so this morning, I want to talk to you about giving thanks. I just want to spend this study this morning on giving thanks. I kind of want to just focus on, you know, the season that we're going through, this Thanksgiving and holiday season. And before we get into the Christmas story and next week, December, I just want to talk about giving thanks. And to do it, I want us to look at a story. Very interesting, a very fascinating, yet a very impactful story found in the Gospel of Luke. And it's the story of 10 lepers who all had a reason to give thanks. But as we're going to find out, only one took the time to give thanks. So turn with me, if you can, to Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17. And we're going to be reading verses 11 through 19. And we're going to look at the story of 10 lepers. Luke chapter 17, verses 11 through 19. And if you have it, you can let me know by saying amen. Amen. This is what it says. Now, it happened as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers who stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and they said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. So when he saw them, he said to them, go show yourselves to the priest. And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God. And he fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. Verse 17. So Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well. Amen. We're going to talk about this story and we're going to see what we can learn about giving thanks. And so in verse 11, our story begins with Jesus passing through the regions of Galilee, which would have been northern Israel, in Samaria, which would be central Israel, as he was traveling to Jerusalem, which would have been southern Israel. And as Jesus was traveling to Israel, we're told that he entered a certain village and he was met by 10 lepers. But notice that Luke tells us there in verse 12 that these 10 lepers, that they didn't draw near to Jesus, but they stood afar off and they cried out to him, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Let me explain. Because of their disease, leprosy, these 10 lepers were not allowed to enter any village. They were not allowed to go near the public because they were required by Jewish law to live in isolation. Jewish law forbid any leper to have public contact with anybody because their disease, leprosy, was very, very contagious. And it spread very easily. So there in the book of Leviticus, chapter 13, verses 45 and 46, God told the people that the leper who was considered unclean, he was commanded to dwell alone. He was commanded to dwell outside of the camp because leprosy was very, very contagious. And it was for the safety of the public. But leprosy, it was not only contagious, it was also a very painful, very dreadful, and it was an incurable disease. In all actuality, leprosy was the most dreadfulest disease in the ancient world. You see, the leper, he did not only suffer emotionally, being disconnected from the world, living in complete isolation and loneliness, but he also suffered physically because the disease leprosy would literally eat him alive. You know, they tell us that leprosy, it began as a tiny spot on the victim's body. It was a skin disease. And as the years went by, the spot, the disease, it would spread, it would grow throughout the body. Eventually, over time, the disease would eat up the victim's members, the victim's organs, and when it would leave them without fingers, without toes, without arms, legs. A leper would die a very slow, painful, lonely death. They would literally be eaten alive. That was the case for all lepers. They were isolated from the public, and they were eaten alive by this dreadful disease. You know, it's interesting that in the Bible, leprosy is often used as a picture for sin. The Bible really uses this horrible disease to give us an understanding of sin and to give us the understanding of the nature of sin. You see, like leprosy, sin is highly contagious. Sin is contagious. If you find yourself around sin a lot, you run the risk of being contaminated by it. If you find yourself not using wisdom in going places or watching things or handling stuff that sin that you know you shouldn't be doing, you run the risk of being contaminated. You run the risk of practicing those things which you know are not honoring to God. And that's why the Bible teaches us in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19, let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. If you're a believer, if you're a follower of Christ, you need to depart from iniquity. What does that mean? Stay away from sin. Stay away from it. Now, does that mean that you have to just lock yourself in a room and live as a monk for the rest of your life? No, because you all know we got to work. We got to go to the store. We got to go to those family reunions, even though it kills us that everyone is sinning. But that's not the whole idea behind it. But the idea behind it is use wisdom. Use wisdom everywhere you go. Don't put yourself in a position or situation where you can get contaminated by sin. Use wisdom. Depart from iniquity. Stay away from sin. Because like leprosy, it's highly contagious. Highly contagious. Also, let me share this with you briefly. Like leprosy, sin brings about a very slow, painful, lonely death. That's what leprosy would do to someone. It would kill you very slowly, very painfully, and very lonely. That's what leprosy, that's what the disease would do to its victims. And that's what sin does to its victims. If sin is not dealt with immediately, it's going to grow, it's going to spread, and it's going to eat you up spiritually, emotionally, and physically. That's the nature of sin. Sin is like cancer. Unless it's removed, unless it's zapped, unless it's cut out, it's going to spread, it's going to grow, and it's going to kill everything in its path. And that's why we got to stay away from it. That's why we need to depart from it. That's why if you find yourself stumbling, if you find yourself struggling, if you find yourself sinning, immediately you got to confess it. Immediately you got to forsake it and repent. Immediately you got to ask the Lord Jesus to wash it with his precious blood. Because if you don't, and if you allow it to continue, it's going to kill you. Listen to this, fam. Either you allow the Lord Jesus to kill sin in your life, or sin will kill you. Amen? Sin will kill you. That's no joke. I'm not exaggerating. Because sometimes we try to justify it. And we say, well, it's just something small. We got that phrase, and I don't know where it came from. Actually, I do. It came from the devil. It's just a white lie. Well, what does a blue lie look like? It's just a purple lie. Like if there's like a color scheme with lying. A lie is a lie. Amen. Sin is sin. And if you don't deal with it, if you just kind of allow it to stick around, if you allow it to kind of hang out in the back, it will kill you. How many of you know that eventually tadpoles turn into frogs? Amen? Eventually little sins, although there's no little sin, but eventually those little tadpoles, they're going to turn into some big ugly frogs. And they're going to kill you. They're going to ruin you. They're going to destroy your relationship with Jesus Christ. Straight up. That sin, that was leprosy. Highly contagious. It spread. It grew. And it brought a very slow, painful death. And so God commanded his people, stay away from lepers. Because they'll kill you with their disease. And God commands us, stay away from sin because it'll kill you. Because that's the nature of sin. How many can say amen to that? People don't like to talk about sin. But the Bible talks about sin. And we need to talk about sin. Because sin will kill you. Amen. If something is deadly, don't you want to know for you can stay away from it? Amen? And so in the scriptures, God teaches us sin is deadly. Stay away from it. It's like the Bible just wraps warning tape around sin. And God says, children, don't go near there. You're going to get burnt. You're going to get hurt. You're going to get broken. Stay away from sin. So in our story, we find these 10 lepers suffering from an incurable disease, leprosy. And they see Jesus entering a village. And right when they see Jesus, they heard about him. They heard about his miracles. They heard about his healing and his power. And so when they saw Jesus from far away, they began to cry out, Master, Master, have mercy on us. The word master is such an interesting word in the Greek language. It speaks of a commander and chief, someone who has authority, someone who has power, someone who can make an impact or a difference. And so they cry out, Master, Master, Jesus, have mercy on us. The 10 lepers, they understood that the only hope for them was entering that village. And so they began to cry out to the Savior. Have mercy. Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. You know, when I read that portion there in verse 13, the Lord really spoke to me. And the Lord really showed me, he really kind of asked me the question, in times of need, who do you cry out to? In times of trouble, who do you run to? In times of despair, who do you turn to? Where do you go? Who do you cry out to when you're going through some stuff? When you're going through a difficult time. Family, like these lepers, we need to cry out to Jesus. You know, one of the most beautiful is Psalms 50. I remember when I was young Christian, when I first got saved, my mom taught me this psalm, and my mom would teach me and go through this psalm with me. Psalms chapter 50, read it if you have a chance. And there in verse 15, the Lord really tells his people, call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you and you will glorify me. Call upon me in the day of trouble. God wants us, God encourages us to call upon him in the day of trouble. And he tells us that he will deliver us and we will glorify him. Listen, fam, when you're going through something and when you call out to God, you're bringing glory to him. You're bringing glory to God. I remember a brother once asked me, you know, Adam, when I pray, you know, I got a lot of petitions. I got a lot of needs. But sometimes I feel a little bad asking God, calling out to God, because I feel a little selfish. I feel a little bit like, okay, God, here I am again with another need. And he kind of asked me, you know, does God get upset with me? Does God get a little mad and frustrated that I'm always calling out to him? And I remember I told him, you know what? God loves when you call out to him, because he tells us in his word, call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you and you will glorify me. We bring glory to God when we call upon him in time of need, because that's showing him and that's showing others and that's even showing ourselves that we're not trusting in anybody but God alone. Amen? And that's why we got to call upon him every day. Call upon Jesus, because hope and help is only found in the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, since we were small, what do they teach us? When there's an emergency, call 911. Amen? How many of you guys learned that? Well, if you haven't learned that, I'm teaching it to you this morning. If your house is on fire, don't call your buddy at work. Amen? Don't call like your suegro or your suegra. You know, call 911. Now, some of you are probably saying, like, what's the number to 911? Just kidding. That's a little joke. That joke always works. No, I've been hearing that joke for 15 years, and it's still funny. Call 911. We're taught that when we're small. Well, as a Christian, as a believer, God wants us to learn from the beginning. Call out to Jesus when you're in need. When you're in trouble, use the name of Jesus. Amen. You having nightmares at night, waking up a little scared, just start saying the name of Jesus. You having a little trouble at work, the boss is getting on your nerves, you feel like you're going to go AWOL, just start calling out to the name of Jesus. Believe me, it works. Try it. Test me. Prove me wrong. There's great hope and there's great help found in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. And the lepers knew that. They understood it and they began to cry out to Jesus. And in verse 14, Luke tells us that as they were crying out to Jesus, Jesus saw them and Jesus responded. Amen, huh? Amen that the Lord hears our cries and he responds to them according to his will and good pleasure. And this is what the Lord told the lepers, look with me, verse 14. He says, go show yourselves to the priest. Now, when you read that, you think to yourself, wait a minute. The lepers were crying out, asking for help, asking for mercy. And that's the best thing the Lord can say? Why didn't the Lord say, be healed? Why didn't the Lord say, your faith has made you well, as he will say eventually? Why didn't the Lord just kind of like point the finger and said, hey, don't worry about it, fellas. I got your back. Be cleansed. Be healed. But that's not what he said. He just simply said, go show yourselves to the priest. He didn't even mention the word healing or cleansing. He just simply said, go to Jerusalem and show yourself to the priest. Now, if you're not familiar with the Old Testament, you're going to miss what the Lord was doing. The Lord was testing the faith of these 10 lepers. How many of you know that at times the Lord tests our faith? Amen? That's biblical. It happens. Maybe more than we want it, but the Lord knows what he's doing, and he's sovereign. But that's what the Lord was doing. He was testing the faith of these lepers. You see, in the Old Testament, if a leper was ever cured from leprosy, the law required him to present himself before the priest and offer a gift, an offering. And this is what would happen. The priest would examine the leper. And if indeed the leper was cured, the priest would pronounce the leper clean to the public, and he would restore him to society. And so when the Lord Jesus told the 10 lepers to go to Jerusalem and to present themselves to the priests, this is what the Lord was saying. He was telling the 10 lepers, if you obey my instructions, and if you go and present yourself to the priests, you will be healed. Do you trust me? That's really what he was saying. Hey, I gave you instructions. If you obey them by faith, and if you trust me, you will be healed. He was testing their faith. You know, oftentimes, obedience to the Lord requires faith in the Lord. And that's why the Bible teaches us that we walk by faith and not by sight. Because sometimes the Lord, he's going to tell us to do something, and he's not going to give us all the details. He's going to leave us in the dark, and we're going to have questions, but that's when we need to learn to walk by faith and to obey by faith. And so the Lord gave these instructions, and by faith, the 10 lepers, they obeyed. And they began to walk to Jerusalem, and they presented themselves. They went to present themselves, to the priests. But as they're walking towards Jerusalem, Luke tells us that something miraculous happened. He doesn't describe it in detail, but as they're walking, as they're obeying the Lord, miraculously, they were cleansed. They were healed. Now you got to understand how amazing this miracle is. Because these men were walking towards Jerusalem, and they were missing body parts. They probably were missing a few fingers, a few hands, maybe an arm or a leg. I don't know. But there they are walking, and miraculously, fingers just start popping out of their hand, like, boop, 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 boop. Oh, man, it worked. It was amazing. A miracle. They were cleansed. Jesus did the impossible. Now, after reading that, if you're familiar with the Gospels, You would think that the story would end, because oftentimes Jesus heals someone and then a few words are said, and then the gospel writers move on to the next story. But in this story, in all actuality, the main message, it kind of just begins. The heart of the story just begins after the healing. Because Luke tells us that one of the lepers, when he saw that he was healed, he immediately stopped going to Jerusalem. He returned to Jesus and he cried out with a loud voice and he glorified God. And he fell down on his face at the feet of Jesus, giving thanks. And in verse 17, if you can look with me, as this leper was giving thanks to the Lord, Jesus said to him, "Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Jesus was amazed that only one of the 10 returned to say thank you. All 10 were healed. All 10 were cleansed. But only one, only 10% returned to say thank you. And Jesus took notice. Jesus was aware of it. And he told that one leper, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Where's your buddies? Where's your clique? Where's the gang that you were hanging out with? Wasn't there 10? Shouting, yelling out, asking, crying out for help? Where's the 9? There was only one who returned to say thank you. But his return was not in vain. For if you read verse 19, Jesus rewarded his thanksgiving. And Jesus told him, "Arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well." What a story, huh? How many of you love the gospel stories? It's amazing. We see Jesus, master over all disease. He heals 10 lepers from an incurable disease, but we're told that only one returns to say thank you. What a story. What a lesson. And to end, I want to share with you guys 3 things that we learn from this story. And we're just going to end with these 3 points and we will be finished. This is what we learn. This is what I see in the story. First, like the leper, we have much to be thankful for. Like the leper, we all have so much to be thankful for. Only one of the 10 lepers realized how much the Lord had done for him. And because of this, he ran back to Jesus, fell at his feet, and he showered Jesus with words of thanksgiving and with words of praise. The Lord had done so much for this leper, and he couldn't hold back. He just had to praise and thank Jesus. Think about it. This leper would suffer no more. No more suffering. No more pain. No more isolation. No more rejection. No more lonely nights. He can now see his family. He can now hang out with his friends. He can now go to the temple to go worship God. The Lord had done so much for him, and the leper understood, and he returned to thank the Lord Jesus. And like that leper, we have so much to be thankful for. Amen. The Lord has done so much for us, and we need to understand that. This morning, realize how much the Lord has done for you. Realize that. Take the time, meditate on how much the Lord has done for you. A lot of times we don't understand that. We don't realize that. And because of that, we fail to give thanks. But if we would just understand, like this leper, that the Lord has done so much for us, every day we would shower God with words of thanksgiving and with words of praise. We need to be thankful because the Lord has done so much. Amen. Man, we're so blessed. Family, you're so blessed. I don't know your condition. I don't know your circumstance. But just by looking at you, you're so blessed. Amen. You can be in a hospital right now. You know that, right? You can be out on the streets. You can be in prison. You can be in jail. You can be at a crazy house, a psychiatric ward. You can be in all those places. God only knows, but it's only because of the mercy and grace of God we're here this morning, healthy, strong, full of life. The Lord has done so much. The Lord has done so much. And as we realize that, we cannot help but just shower him with thanksgiving and with praise. So the first thing we learn is, like this leper, we have much to be thankful for. Spiritually, amen. The Lord has forgiven us. The Lord has saved us from an eternity in hell. Physically, the Lord has provided for us. Amen. The Lord has given us a roof over our head, clothes on our back, food on the table. Emotionally, the Lord has sustained us. Amen. We struggle with our nerves. We struggle with anxiety. We struggle with worry and with doubt. But through it all, the Lord has kept us sane, with a sound mind, spiritually, physically, emotionally. We have much to be thankful for. Amen. Amen. So that's the first thing. Now, the second thing we learn is, like the 9 lepers, many fail to give thanks to the Lord. Like the 9 lepers, many fail to give thanks to the Lord. Of the 10 lepers who were healed, 9 failed to give thanks. Only one took the time to go back and give thanks to the Lord. Look at this. All of them were willing to ask for something. Jesus, have mercy. But only one was willing to give something. Jesus, thank you. Everyone was willing to ask. Everyone wanted to receive. But only one was willing to give. Only one took the time to say thank you. And that's the attitude of many people today. They want to receive, but nobody wants to give. They complain about what they don't have, but few take the time to appreciate what they do have. And we see that in the story, and we see that going on today. And family, don't let that be you. In everything, give thanks. Take time to give thanks to the Lord. For Jesus, he takes notice. Jesus takes notice. He's aware of who's thanking him or who's not thanking him. He takes notice. He's conscious. He's aware. Did you know that the Lord Jesus is conscious of when you complain, of when you murmur, of when you whine? He's aware of that. Nothing goes unnoticed from him. And he's also aware when you take the time to say thank you. when you appreciate all that he's done for you. And don't be like the 9 lepers. Be like that one leper who took the time to give thanks. And parents, teach your children how to give thanks. Teach your children what it means to be appreciative of everything. You know, I praise God since I was a young child. My parents taught me how to be thankful. And now just automatically, and I'm not saying I'm the best guy because I'm not. The Lord is doing the work. But there's one thing I've learned to do, and I've learned to give thanks. I love to say thank you when I'm at a restaurant. If you hand me something, I will say thank you. And if you don't let me, I'm going to chase you down. And I'm going to grab you and I'm going to say thank you, you know. It's important to me. It's so important to express gratitude. And there's days that I do complain. I'm not perfect. There's days that I do whine. But the Lord reminds me. The Lord tells me, you have nothing to complain about, but you have much to be thankful for. And that's need to be our attitude. We must not fail to give thanks, but we must continuously, constantly offer our thanks to the Lord. You know, I heard this once. Some people are always complaining because roses have thorns, but I am thankful that thorns have roses. We got to learn to be thankful. Don't focus on the thorns, family. Focus on the roses. Amen. Let's finish with this third point, and we're going to end with this. Thirdly, like the leper, more blessings come from giving thanks. Like the leper, thirdly, more blessings come from giving thanks. In our story, 10 were healed physically, but only one was healed spiritually. The one who returned to give thanks. Because if you can look in verse 19 with me, the Lord Jesus, he rewarded the leper's thanksgiving by telling him, arise, go your way, your faith has made you well. But a better translation would be, arise, go your way, your faith has saved you. That's the whole idea behind it. That Jesus not only healed them physically, but he also healed them spiritually. He forgave his sins. 10 were healed physically, but only one was healed from sin. And it was the one who returned to say thank you. And those who failed to say thank you, man, they missed out on a greater blessing. The blessing of salvation. And that's what happened to us. When you fail to be thankful, you miss out on so many blessings. You know, thanksgiving, a heart of thanksgiving, it's a seed that is sown and it produces many blessings. It never returns empty-handed. And if you go around, and if you go through life with an unthankful heart, man, you are going to miss out on so many blessings. You're going to miss out on the fullness of life. If you're always complaining, check this out, fam. I'm going to end with this. If you're always whining, if you're always criticizing, if you're always murmuring, you are going to miss out on so many blessings. It's because when you give thanks, and it's when you have a thankful heart, that's when blessings come. Because you learn how to appreciate things. You don't take nothing for granted. You don't neglect anything. But when you're thankful for something, and when you express that thanksgiving, you appreciate it more. You value it more. And to you, it's the most important thing in the world. And you're blessed. You're blessed. It becomes a blessing to you. Think about this. Before my mom passed away, there was many pictures of the family. Many pictures of her and me and the children. In all my years, those pictures were just stored in a box in a drawer. They were insignificant to me. I didn't think about them. I didn't value them. I took everything for granted. But once my mom passed away, and once the Lord worked in my heart and reality struck, now those pictures are the most precious thing to me. I would give my life for a picture of my mom. It's because often you don't know what you have until it's taken away from you. And that's why now learn to be thankful. Don't take anything for granted. Do you know that we live in a culture, in a generation, that everything is taken for granted? You think the world owes you something. You think you're going to live forever. You think you're going to be healthy and strong forever. You think your parents are going to be alive forever. That's what I thought. You think, oh, well, they're always going to be there. My brother, my sister, my church family, my friends, my neighbors, my work, it's always going to be there. Reality check. It's not always going to be there. One day it's going to be taken away from you. One day. I don't know when that day is. It might be in 50 years. It might be in 50 minutes. I don't know, but I do know that one day it's going to be removed. And so that's why now that you have an opportunity, be thankful. Show your thanksgiving. Take the time to be appreciative, to value, to treasure the many blessings that God has given you. And as you do that, you're going to see that the blessings are going to increase. Amen. Appreciate it. Value that job. Because just like that, you can be unemployed. Value that car. Even if the windows don't roll down. Because just like that, you can be on that sunbus. Amen. And I don't know if the windows roll down in the sunbus. I don't even know if the door's open in that sunbus. Value it. Treasure it. Because if you complain, only loss will be brought to your life. But when you learn to give thanks, only gain will be brought to your life. Man, you'll be blessed, family. And I just end by saying, in everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. Every day, be thankful. Learn to give thanks. Have a heart of thanksgiving. Learn to express your thanksgiving to God through word, through your acts, and learn to express your thanksgiving to others. You know, if you have an opportunity today, call someone. Say, you know what? I appreciate you. I thank you. I love you. I value your life. I value your friendship. I value your time. I value your prayers. I value your love. Call someone. If you need to, you know, use my phone, call the mom. Call the dad. Call the in-law. Even though they might be an outlaw, call them. Love them. Appreciate them. Because tomorrow's not promised to anybody. Amen. Giving thanks every day, every moment. Learn to be thankful. You know, my desire for us as a family, as the fellowship, as the body of Christ, that we would be a people who know what it means to be thankful of the Lord. You know, if that's one thing I can just instill in the body, be thankful. Learn how to just appreciate what God has done. Every good, every beautiful, every precious thing, it's from the Father. It's from our Heavenly Father. And as children, we got to be thankful. We have to be appreciative because He's worthy. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to be like those 9 lepers. But I want to be like that one leper who took the time and who returned and said, thank you. Let's stand, and we're going to end in a word of prayer. And what if we do this? I got